Well, hello everyone. My name's Gordon. I'm the assistant minister here. We're going to be reading from the scriptures now, from the Word of God. And our Bible reading today is from Genesis 2, and you can find that in page 2 of the church Bibles. So it's Genesis chapter 2, verses 4 to 23. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It winds through the entire country of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will certainly die." The Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good to be at church with you. My name's Prash. I'm the senior minister. A very warm welcome if you're new or visiting or joining us for the first time. It's great to have you in the building this morning. We're starting a series in over the course of this month of May on the topic of work, and we're going to think a little bit about it from a number of different angles. Work is one of those topics which I think people don't really know how to think clearly about. They're often caught between a spectrum. This is an ad that was shown in the Super Bowl. Cast your minds to the screen. Graham, if you could play it for me, please. With sound.
As a rule, if you hate going to work every day, it may be time. If you hate going to work and your coworkers don't respect you,
hey, dummy.
It may be time. If you hate going to work, your coworkers don't respect
hey,
you,
dummy.
And you always wish you were somewhere else, it may be time. If you hate going to work, your coworkers don't respect
hey,
you,
dummy.
You wish you were somewhere else, and you cry constantly, it may be time. If you hate going to work, no one respects
hey,
you, you wish you were somewhere else, you cry constantly, and you daydream of punching small animals.
Oh dear.
It may be time. If you hate going to work, no one respects
hey,
you, you wish you were somewhere else, you cry constantly, you daydream of punching small animals, and you sit next to this guy, it may be time. If you make loads of money, it may not be time.
It's gold.
But if you make loads of money, you hate going to work, no
hey,
one respects
dummy.
You, you wish you were somewhere else, you cry constantly, you daydream of punching small animals, and you sit next to this guy, it's probably time, as a rule.
There you go. Well, is it time for you to change a job? That's the question. In the video that you just saw, the challenge that they're unpacking is that for many of us, we do a job with little joy. We maybe started doing that job, But we've lost the joy. I'm sorry, Wei, I'm getting lots of feedback here, if you don't mind. It must be from the fallback speakers. Thanks, mate. And yet there are others of us who just, we throw ourselves completely into our work. We love it. And the question is, which of those two people is right? I think, interestingly, I had a Bible study leader who many years ago, when I used to ask him about his day, his week, when I saw him on a Sunday, he'd tell me how terrible it was. And he would say, but it's okay, work is cursed. Work is a curse, was his line. And so for a long time, I always considered my job on the spectrum between blessing and curses towards the curse end. That was what work was. Work was a curse. It was a product of the curse. But I want to say that actually the way the Bible thinks about work is very nuanced. There is not just one line to understand your work. And even what your work is actually is much more nuanced than you might automatically assume. You're already thinking of something when I say work. You're already thinking of a particular space in your week or in your life previously. But work is much broader than that, I want to show you as well. So where do we start? Well, I want to say the first thing that we learn from the Bible is that there is inherent goodness to work. There is inherent goodness to work. And this is because, first and foremost, I still got heaps of ringing here, Wei. It's like the gain is up. There's inherent goodness to work. And the first reason is because God himself works. Sometimes you might think, oh, God created the world in 6 days and then he rested for the rest of time. But actually, that's not how the Bible talks about it. Here's Jesus in John 5:17. He says, my Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. He's actually talking about it in the context of the idea of the Sabbath holiday in Old Testament teaching. And he says, no, God is still working. In fact, Paul will say in Colossians, God is consistently sustaining the world, actually. He's always at work. God works. And Jesus says, I am working. God is a worker, and so work is good. The other thing we learn, though, when we look at God as a worker is that we see the wide variety of work that even God does. God comes as a gardener, he comes as a builder, he comes as a manager, he comes as an artist throughout the story of the Bible. And so there isn't just one type of work that God does. Philip Jensen, who was a former dean of the Sydney Cathedral, wrote this. He said, if God came into the world, what would he be like? Well, for the ancient Greeks, he might have been a philosopher king. The ancient Romans might have looked for a just and noble statesman. But how does God of the Hebrews come into the world? As a carpenter. He comes as a carpenter. That's just worth reflecting on. It's worth realizing that for most of us, we think about work in the context of kind of white-collar technocratic work, you know, where you sit in front of a computer and you type out stuff and you shoot off emails and you're in meetings in offices. That's what we think about by work. But amazingly, wonderfully, when Jesus comes into the world, he comes as a blue-collar laborer. God's vision of work is much broader, I suspect, than your and my immediate intuition and where our minds might go straight away when we think about this topic. If you're a parent, what do you long for your kids? I think what you long your kids might become in their professional lives or just as they grow up is perhaps an insight into what you might think of as valuable work. But the Bible portrays God as the great worker and his work of such great variety and of such great spread. It is not just the kind of the narrow microcosm that our particular cultural space thinks of as work. Work is good and work is varied. But it's not just good because God works. It's good because it's actually the job that God gave us. So in Genesis 2, someone said this to me after the morning, so I said, when you read Genesis 2, I wasn't really sure how it related to work. We often think of those early chapters of Genesis in terms of God creating the world. But that Genesis chapter 2 is all about work, actually. It's all about labor. Because God is working, he's doing a great creative work, but even more, he's commissioning people to work. See, the purpose that we're put on this earth in part is to work. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 5, so it says, no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up. Now that's you know, in other words, they're talking about the moment in creation when the world is still very formless, right? There's nothing of beauty and distinction about the world yet. And he says, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth. Now that makes sense. We think, okay, no wonder there's no bushes, there's no animals, there's no water. This is the stuff of life, right? But do you see what he then goes on and says, and there was no one to work the ground. See, Adam is put there and then subsequently Eve to bring form and shape to creation, says the Bible. Work has this great purpose of bringing about the fruitfulness of the world we live in. Adam is commissioned to bring about the fruitfulness of it. We see it come out again. This is his purpose in part. God, the Lord God, took the man and put him in the garden to work it and to take care of it. See, we think, oh no, God doesn't want us to work. Now God does. That's in fact why, it's in part why he created us. It's why Adam's there. And of course, this story is all before Genesis 3, where, you know, what we call the fall or the great mistake of Adam and Eve. So my Bible study literature says, oh no, work is just cursed. It's a product of the fall. It's not, actually. It exists before it. It exists when the world is unsullied by man's sin and rebellion. But what we also see when we look at Genesis 2 is that the work God gives his people is a work of great responsibility. There's a great responsibility to what God gives his people here. And it's described in terms of naming creation. It's the passage that Pippi brought to us in Spotlight. Work is understood through the idea of naming. Now, I'm a Gen X, so I watch The Simpsons. If you don't know what The Simpsons are, bear with me. Okay, I'm just going to play a clip for you from The Simpsons, which I think brings out the power of naming people very well.
Well, I've been thinking, if the baby's a boy, what do you think of the name Larry?
Marge, we can't do that. All the kids will call him Larry Fairy.
Well, how about Louie?
We'll call him Screwy Louie.
Bob?
Slob.
Luke?
Puke.
Marcus?
Mucus.